The Detroit Pistons Summer League starts this week. What are some things that I'm looking forward to seeing at the Pistons Summer League this summer? We'll talk about that in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you have not already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. We're on our way to our new goal of 5,000 subscribers by the beginning of October. We're halfway there, I believe, just about halfway there. So I'd really appreciate if you guys head over to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. I'd really appreciate it. So just a little heads up, though, before we get started. I'm recording this night of July 4th. So you guys probably, actually not probably, you will hear some fireworks pop off in the background a little bit. I can't control that. My neighbors, I don't like fireworks at all. So I'm not happy about them doing the fireworks around my neighborhood either at all. So I'm sorry if you guys happen to hear some of those pop off in the background of this video. But or the podcast, whichever way you're listening to this episode. But anyways, the Pistons Summer League is starting this week on the 7th. I'm sure we're all excited. They're going to be going against the Portland Trail Blazers to start off. And I believe Luka Garza is on that roster now, the Summer League roster. So they just cut him last week or a week and a half ago, and we're going to be seeing him right back against the Pistons. That'll be interesting. But yeah, they start this week on the 7th. And I asked you guys on Twitter, what did you guys want to hear me talk about on tomorrow's episode, Tuesday's episode? And literally like 13, 15 responses from you guys all were about, tell us what you want to see from this G League or the Summer League. Tell us what you want to see from the Summer League. What are you looking forward to? Blah, blah, blah. So we're going to spend the majority of this episode, probably the first and second segment, talking about the Summer League. And then we'll transition to something else that's a little bit minor. But majority of this episode will just be talking about what I want to see from the Summer League. So the Pistons did release their roster already. They did this on the 30th of June. So 5 days ago when you guys listen to this, I'm going to go through the roster and then we'll talk about it. They got Jules Bernard, who is a rookie, Sadiq Bey, obviously, Buddy Boeheim, and Jimmy Boeheim. I don't know if I'm saying their last names correctly, but they're both Syracuse guys. It sounds like you guys know about them. Kay Cunningham, that's a shocker. Kyle Foster, Killian Hayes, Jaden Ivey, Braxton Key, Balsa Koprivica, Saben Lee, Isaiah Livers, Cameron McGusty, Charlie Moore, Isaiah Stewart, Anthony Tark, Justin Turner, and Stanley Umud. Now, there's a lot of takeaways just to have from the roster. First, it's the fact that Kay Cunningham and Sadiq Bey are on that roster. Now, initially, do I believe that they'll be playing in the Summer League at all? My guess right now, a few days ahead of it, is no. I don't think that Cade or Sadiq will touch the floor at all. It doesn't make much sense for them to touch. I mean, I guess if they just want to view it as extra practice and the coaches want them to play and the players are down to play, I mean, I guess. But usually you definitely don't see a player caliber of Kay Cunningham playing his second Summer League. You don't see that happening ever. And Sadiq Bey, he's in his third season. You don't see third-year guys really play Summer League, especially when they are established as Sadiq Bey is. So I really would be surprised if Sadiq or Cade touch the floor. If they do, I pray they don't get, I mean, knock on wood, nothing, they don't get hurt or, you know, anything like that, because it would really be a bummer and it would be for a waste, basically, because Summer League doesn't matter. But if they do suit up, I'm sure a lot of people will be excited to watch them, as I will. I'll be watching as well, so I'll be excited to watch them, but I just don't think there's any reason for them to be playing. They're pretty established. They don't have anything to prove. I don't think they get much out of playing in the Summer League, to be honest. I think Cade gets probably more out of playing these pickup runs, which his trainer Ashton has been putting on Twitter and Instagram, that he's been at these runs with KD, Kyrie Irving, Russell Westbrook, all these pro guys, these elite pro guys that he's playing with. I think he probably gets more out of playing pickup with those guys than he probably would in Summer League, to be honest. So I don't see what he's getting out of that. And the same thing goes for Sadiq. So that's my guess right now with those guys. Some other takeaways. Obviously, you guys did not hear me say Jalen Duren. His trade is not official yet with the New York Knicks. Now, a lot of you guys keep telling me July 6th is when it becomes official. I have not seen, like, that's what you guys, everyone keeps telling me. I have not seen one of the beat writers say that. At least I haven't seen it. So, and I haven't gotten any email for, or we haven't seen any Pistons PR, you know, tweet that out at all. Like, we haven't seen anything like that. I haven't seen it at least, but you guys must have seen it somewhere, because a lot of you guys, like probably over 100, have already told me July 6th. So that will be one day before their summer league actually begins. That's why he's not on the roster right now. And if that date is true from what you guys are telling me, he will have one day to get ready for the summer league game, first game. I don't think he'd play in the first game, but I do think you'd see him after that in the rest of the games the Pistons play. That would be the second takeaway, but don't worry. Don't freak out. Don't think that he's not on the roster. Don't think that he's just not going – the trade may be, you know, taken back or something. That's not going to happen. You just got to wait for the trade to become official, and when it does, you'll see him out there. I'm going to take a guess he probably plays the second game of the summer league, but I don't think he'd be there for the first game. And then some other takeaways just from the roster itself. Obviously, you see Killian Hayes and Isaiah Stewart on this roster, joined with Isaiah Livers, Bosa Koprivica, Braxton Key, and Jaden Ivey. I think everyone expected Killian Hayes to be on the roster. I was expecting Killian Hayes to be on the roster. I'm expecting Killian to get some really good run out here. We've talked about this plenty, but Killian and Dwayne Casey and Troy Weaver all talked about at the end of the season that what they wanted Killian to get through is a lot of 5v5 reps, a lot of pickup, a lot of playing against great competition. In the offseason, they thought that would do a lot for him. So it doesn't shock me at all that he's here. It's kind of shocking they have him at 195. He's 100% not 195. That's just not true at all. But yeah, I expect Killian to play a lot of games. Same thing goes with Isaiah Stewart. Oh, and also Isaiah Livers. Isaiah Stewart, I expect Isaiah Stewart to at least get more reps than Sadiq Bey is going to get. Isaiah Stewart's kind of on that same tip as Sadiq Bey, to where they're already pretty, like, they're established as third-year guys. I don't really see why they're playing, even though I see a little bit more of a reason with Isaiah Stewart, which we'll talk about in the second segment. So I expect to see him get some decent reps here. But yeah, though Killian Hayes and Isaiah Stewart, it doesn't shock me that they're going to be playing in on this roster. Isaiah Livers, the same thing. It doesn't shock me at all. This is his second season. He missed last season summer league because of his foot injury that he suffered at Michigan. So it doesn't shock me to see Isaiah Livers on there. Saban Lee, same there. It doesn't shock me. He's still trying to prove some things. Braxton Key doesn't shock me either. He's on their two-way contract, even though he's a bit older than a lot of the players on this roster. He is on a two-way. This would be his second season with the Pistons if he stays on that two-way. So doesn't shock me with that one, obviously, Jaden Ivey. One of the guys I think a lot of you guys probably will be interested in watching, and I don't think he's really getting as much talk, and probably rightfully so. He's probably not much of anything. But also, Koprivica was the Pistons' drafting staff player from a few years ago, and he's going to be playing in their summer league this year. So it's going to be interesting to see, is he any good? Does he dominate the competition against some lower-skilled guys? Does he play well? Just get a good look at him, because no one really knew who the heck this guy was. He was drafted and he was stashed, like I said, and we haven't heard much about him since. And now all of a sudden he's in the summer league. So it's going to be interesting to see, what does he do? Like, what is he good at? What's the kind of build is he? What kind of archetype is he? Is he nimble? Can he move for a guy his size? He's 7'1", 240, it says. So there's just not much known about him literally at all. So this is going to be like the first time Pistons fans get to see him really, like, in person, for those of you guys at Vegas or on TV watching the summer league. So that's the roster. That's my initial takeaways from the roster. I do not expect to see Cade or Sadiq play. I'd be shocked if they did. I expect to see Killian get a lot of reps. Somewhat the same thing with Isaiah Stewart. Not shocked to see Livers, Lee, Key, or Ivy on this roster, obviously, especially Jaden Ivy, because he's a rookie. So you obviously expect him to be playing. That's not a big deal at all. But again, I think it would be pretty interesting to see Bosa Koprivica, to be honest. I think that would be a little bit interesting for everybody. So that's my initial takeaways from the roster. Do you guys think Cade Cunningham or Sadiq Bey will be playing in the summer league? Let me know down below or over on Twitter at Cuckoo Hill if you're listening to this on one of the podcast platforms. How long do you think Killian Hayes and Isaiah Stewart will be playing? Do you think they play multiple games, one game, two games, three games? Let me know in the comment section down below again or over on Twitter at Cuckoo Hill. When we come back, now we're going to talk about some things that I want to see specifically from some of these players in this summer league. Some things I think should be targeted during this time in the summer league. We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, I have to tell you guys about some of our sponsors. First up, let me tell you a little bit about Arcade 1UP. We have big news. The one, the only NBA Jam is back. Arcade 1UP, the leader in at-home retro arcade games, is not only bringing the best game ever back, but they've made it bigger than ever before with, wait for it, the Shaq Edition machine. Jump clear across the court and set the ball on fire in one of the first sports games ever to feature real and digitized NBA-licensed teams. No fouls, no free throws, and no quarters required. Complete with friends and family through all-new Wi-Fi leaderboards, make you more connected than ever. Pre-order now from arcade1up.com. That's arcade, the number one, up.com for an estimated early September ship date. Arcade 1UP is the place for fun. They've got even more classics like Golden Tee, Mortal Kombat, and many others starting at just $399. And check this out. They're giving away a free NBA Jam Shaq Edition to a Locked On listener. Enter for a chance to win a game console for your man cave at arcade1up.com/lockedon. That's arcade, the number one, up.com/lockedon. You've got till July 8th, just a few days ago, to enter to win an NBA Jam Shaq Edition console. Don't miss out and enter today. Who are you going to play with? With Arcade 1UP. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. Continuing to show Locked On that we're the best and fastest growing fan base at the Locked On Network. So again, I'd really appreciate it. Best way to support the podcast. Subscribe button over at the YouTube channel, Locked On Pistons. Again, we're going to apologize for you guys. The fireworks are starting to really pick up behind me. I don't know if you guys can hear it. I definitely can hear it. Like another one just popped off just now. I really don't like it. But if you guys hear it again, I apologize. I can't help the fact that everyone wants to start popping fireworks at this time. But anyways, what are some things I'm looking for specifically from some of these players in the Summer League? Now, there's a few players we're going to target here. And there's going to be a few. It's not going to be just skills or like improvements I want to see from players. It's also going to be like kind of scheme kind of things too that I want to see tested at the Summer League. If these guys are going to play, that's assuming like let's say Cade plays and Sadiq plays, all these guys in the roster play. Honestly, some of the scheme stuff can still be talked about even without Cade or Sadiq, but just assuming that the guys on this Summer League roster play. We haven't heard that they won't play. I don't believe Cade or Sadiq will play. But we have to assume that they will because they're on the roster. So assuming that, we're going to talk about some scheme things I kind of want to see tested out before the season here. And obviously some things I want to see improved from some of these players. So first we're going to start with, and I know you guys probably thought we're going to start with Killian Hayes. We're not going to start there though. We're going to start with Isaiah Stewart. I think Isaiah Stewart might be the most talked about young guy on the Pistons roster this offseason. I think he honestly wins that debate right there. I think he's been talked about more than Cade, more than Sadiq, heck, even more than Killian Hayes, who's a very controversial player. Jaden Ivey just arrived, so that doesn't really count him and Duren. I think Isaiah Stewart's been the most talked about one. And I think it's been they've basically been chopped up into two sides. Either you're on the good side or you're on the bad side of Isaiah Stewart. They don't let you be in the middle no more. There's no like trying to be just, you know, objective about you, either all the way in on him or you're just kicked out and you're already out on him. And I think it all started a few months ago and it kind of picked up steam, especially after the draft in their press conference with the rookies about Isaiah Stewart playing the four. It was kind of hinted at after the season by Dwayne Casey and Troy Weaver. It was hinted at again earlier in the offseason. And then they talked about it again at the press conference for the rookies. They drafted Jalen Duren and Jaden Ivey. They talked about how they think Isaiah Stewart can play with Jalen Duren in the upcoming regular season, maybe even moving forward. They talk about, or Troy Weaver, really. I don't want to say Dwayne Casey, I heard a lot of this from Weaver. But Weaver was talking a lot about how he believes in Isaiah Stewart's ability to shoot outside jump shots, how he believes that right there will enable him to be able to play the power forward position and be able to play two big lineups because he believes in his outside shooting. We obviously saw at the end of the last two seasons, you didn't really see much of it until the end of the season. But at the end of the last two seasons, you've obviously seen Isaiah Stewart's volume start to pick up from outside. The first year, he didn't shoot very well. He shot around 31% when he picked up his volume from outside. Then this past season, he was shooting around 60% like the last eight or nine games from the season from deep, and he picked up his volume. Before then, he was barely attempting. This past season, he wasn't even attempting a three a game. Last season, he was barely doing it, his rookie season, he was barely doing it. So we've seen him start to pick it up and try it more at the end of the season when it's more experimental times. And what's a more experimental time than Summer League? I think the one thing that everyone needs to see and the one thing the Pistons should be wanting to see and wanting to test out in Summer League, not just the fans or people like me who cover the team and have to watch the team and talk about them, But literally the talent evaluators up in the front office, the coaching staff needs to see this from him. They need to play him at the four in summer league, I feel like. You need to play him at the four, get him a lot of reps shooting threes, see if he can handle the responsibilities of playing the power forward position. Because a lot of people, and this is something we're going to eventually talk about in the podcast a little bit more in depth with someone else on the podcast, there's more to playing the four position than just shooting threes. Like, Isaiah Stewart has to improve on a lot of things to be able just to play four. You can't just take him, you know, shoot some threes in the corner and now all of a sudden you're there four. No, you have other responsibilities you have to do at the four position. Can't Isaiah Stewart, pump fake and take a dribble in and create something off when someone closes out quick at him? If you can't, teams are just going to do that and it's going to crumble up the offense. Is he able to do anything in the short roll passing? Like, if the Pistons are going to set screens with Isaiah Stewart and they're going to have the lob threat in the dunker spot, do you trust Isaiah Stewart to be able to make those kind of short roll passes to the lob threat? Do you believe in Isaiah Stewart's ability to make the short roll passes to the corner, to the opposite wing, when guys are colliding on him or rotating over on his short roll? Do you trust him with that kind of decision-making? Do you think his improvements as a screener has improved? Like, all those things come into the fact with four. Just because you move him from the five to the four doesn't mean he's not going to be screening no more. It doesn't mean he's just going to be sitting in the corner the entire time. If he's doing that, he's going to be having to shoot like over 42% for it to be good enough. Like, if you're just playing him in the corner and not telling him to do literally anything else, then he's not even really a four. He's just a random player out there, and you're going to be wanting him to shoot over 42% to make that worthwhile. And that's 42% is enough to, one, make it good enough scoring points per possession with him in the corner, but also enough to make the defense respect him and actually close out. Because if they don't respect him, you can play him in the corner all you want. They're just going to sag off him. They're still going to collide on the driving line. So there's a lot of other things. My point is that come playing the four position, and he should get that started in the summer league, testing all these things, improvements as a screener, pick and popping, maybe set double screens with whoever, Balsa or Durant when he comes around. Set a double screen, let Durant drive to the basket, or dive to the basket, I should say, and then have Isaiah Stewart pop out, see if he can do those kind of things. Has he improved as a pick and or a dribble handoff screener? Also with the passing off the dribble handoff, like all those things, test all of that in this summer league and tell him to be getting up volume threes. He should be getting up at least three threes a game, in my opinion, in the summer league. I don't need to see, well, actually, I don't want to take that back. I do need to see him improve his finishing at some point in his career. I think that's probably going to be the hardest thing for him to do. I don't know if he ever does it. So if he wants to try and improve some finishing stuff, I guess, but I feel like what should be looked at and people need to see is his outside shot reliable? Is he confident in that outside shot? Can he take a lot of them and make a decent amount of them, enough to have defenses respect him and open up driving lanes? That's what needs to be tested out in the summer league. That's the main thing. Number one thing I'm looking for in this offseason, because everyone seems to be pointing in the direction of Isaiah Stewart playing the forward position, including the front office, coaching staff, some fans, all that stuff. If that's the case, I need to see some proof that he can do it. But I haven't seen any proof that he can do it before. I'm not a believer in it at all, because I think a lot more stuff comes with playing the forward than just outside shooting. And I'm already I'm skeptical on his outside shooting to begin with. So I need to see that from him at the forward position in this summer league for me to believe that he has a chance of doing it this upcoming season. But if he doesn't, we've talked about in the last episode, we talked about it a lot the past week. If he can't, the spacing is going to be absolutely, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. They're going to need one of these guys, either him or Marvin Bagley, to become decent outside shooters at the forward position, or their spacing for real is going to be it's going to be awful. It's going to be terrible. They're going to need it. So again, that's what the number one thing I'm looking forward to in the summer league. Number two. And again, fireworks starting to pick up a little bit more even now. Sorry if you guys hear that. I'm going to keep apologizing for that throughout the episode. Second thing I'm looking forward, Killian Hayes. We talked about this, I believe, a few weeks ago on the podcast, but I don't expect all of you guys to listen to every single episode, so you guys might have missed it. But I do not want to see Killian Hayes making the swing corner pass. I don't want to see Killian Hayes making the, you know, coming off the pick and roll, guy tags down and he makes that skip corner pass. I don't want to see him drive and make the quick kick out to the wing. I don't want to see him doing all that stuff. I don't care about the passing because I know he can pass. I know Killian's great with the ball in his hands when it comes to passing. I know he's a pretty good decision maker. I know he's really accurate with the ball. I know he wants to pass the ball. I know he can find open guys. I know he can do all of that. As a playmaker, I have zero questions about Killian Hayes. I don't think any of us do. All of us believe that Killian Hayes is a tremendous passer and incredibly smart passer. I don't think any of us question that about him. So we don't need to see that. And that's not what he should be focusing on, let alone in the summer league or in the pickup runs that he's playing, whether he's at the Cade pickup runs with KD, Kyrie, and all of them, or if he's in pickup runs down in Florida with his trainer, or if he's over in France playing pickup with his other trainer or with some other dudes over in France. Like, I don't care. Wherever he's playing pickup at, wherever he's playing his 5v5, it should not be focused on passing. They literally should be showing up. They should have a person from the Pistons organization walking with Killian Hayes in every pickup run saying, well, I want to see you pass the ball less than three times this game. Anytime he touches the ball, pass the ball less than three times. Because, again, we don't need to see him pass. We know he can pass. So what we're going to be focusing on in the summer league, I want to see Killian Hayes. And, again, I don't care if he shoots 41% from the field doing this. But what I want to see, I want to see him shoot at least 12 times, 13 times, 14 times a game. Like, I want to see him get a lot of shots up. I want to see him get three, four threes up. I want to see him get to the basket over and over and over and continue to attack and attempt layups at the rim. Try draw fouls. Again, if he's missing these shots at the rim, I don't care. Keep going. Keep going at the rim. Show that you're confident in it and you're trying to draw fouls. Now, I don't know if he's going to draw a lot of fouls in the summer league because summer league is prison ball. Like, you can get away with a lot of stuff in summer league. So I don't know if he's going to draw a lot of fouls. I think there will be a lot of times on drives when he gets to the rim that he'll probably get fouled and we'll be able to say, yeah, in the NBA, that's probably going to be a foul. This is a good drive. But either way, I want to see him get to the rim over and over and over. I want to see him be aggressive to the rim. I want to see him continue to use his body at the rim. I want to see him use his frame, 6'5", long wingspan, probably around 215. I want to see him use his strength around the basket, bully guys around the basket, on the way to the basket. Again, I want to see him shoot a bunch of threes. Guys go under the screen, pick the dribble up, and shoot the three. I want to see him focus on scoring the basketball. That's it. Like, if he makes the corner skip passes, it's shocking to none of us because we know he can do it. If he's making great kickouts, we know he can do that. It's not going to shock any of us. The only pass that I will give a pass to, I guess, is if he's giving lobs or throwing lobs to Durant. And they're just like, when he eventually shows up in the summer league and they're just dominating teams with this pick and roll and he's just throwing lobs for days. Now that I'll accept because I've been saying that he needs a pick and or a lob threat for years. For how long has been Killian been with the Pistons? 3 years now? 2 years now? I've been saying it for a while that he needs a lob threat. If he does that, I'll give him a pass with that one. But outside of that, I want to see Killian Hayes shoot the basketball. That's all I want to see. Score the basketball. Shoot the basketball. Get to the rim. Be physical. Get threes up, take some runners, all those things. Show more creativity. Show that creative, aggressive, cocky ball handle that he showed us over the last month and a half and that he shows us every few games before then. I want to see that cockiness. Killian has a cockiness to his play. He just, like, his handle and stuff, he has a cockiness to it. It just rarely ever comes out. I want to see that every single play. So Killian Hayes and Isaiah Stewart, you guys are on my list. Of people, you're at the very top of my list. There's a big drop off between everybody else. Isaiah Stewart and Killian Hayes, you guys are the ones I want to see stuff from in this summer league. I want to see it, and I think we need to see it. More importantly, whether it's like, again, even with Isaiah Stewart and even with Killian Hayes, whether you're making or missing, yes, it matters. But more so, I want to see the confidence. I want to see you knowing that this is what I have to work on. I want to see you going through the motion of making the right decisions in this area. That's what I want to see. I want to see the aggressiveness stay there. We'll see how it goes in the summer league. I'm going to take back a little bit what I said just now. Making and missing does matter. It does. Let me say that. I take that back. If you shoot a low percentage, okay. Obviously, we'd like to see you make them, though. But you guys get what I'm saying. But that's what I'm looking forward to in the summer league. Let me know what you guys are looking forward to. Is it someone else? Obviously, Jaden Ivey. I didn't include Jaden Ivey because he's a rookie. Yeah, of course. Like, of course, we're looking forward to seeing him. That's the easy answer. That's the boring answer I could have given you guys. Everyone's looking forward to Jaden Ivey. But instead, I'm on a different route. A route I thought was a little bit more important and more, you know, schematic to the season. Schematic more with Isaiah Stewart and personal improvement with Killian Hayes. So let me know what you guys are looking forward to in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. We'll continue this talk when we come back. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors. You guys' favorite sponsor, Boot Bar. For the people who invented healthy and tasty, comes the latest gift to your taste buds. You've probably tried the amazing coconut brownie chunk Built Bar, but guess what? Your friends at Built Bar have given a coconut brownie chunk bar the Puffs treatment. That's right, the coconut brownie chunk Built Bar flavor you love in a delicious, chewy marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. It's like a fluffy cloud of coconut brownie goodness. But stop drooling and listen. They're good for you, too. They're low in calories, low in sugar, high in protein, and really delicious. Coconut brownie chunk puffs are only here for a limited time. So go to Built.com to make sure you don't miss out. They're going to go out fast because they taste absolutely amazing. And make sure you go to Built.com anyways and constantly checking out their limited time flavors. It feels like every other day, every other week, they're coming out with a brand new flavor. And they have regular flavors that are always there. You know, the raspberry, the strawberry, my favorite, the peanut butter the flavor. All kinds of stuff over there. So make sure you're checking out Built.com all the time. The best part about Built Puffs is, of course, that they taste amazing, but you can also enjoy them guilt-free because they are actually good for you. They are the perfect treat, perfect when you've got a craving and need to satisfy a sweet tooth, or if you need a quick, healthy snack. They're an excellent source of protein. Delicious coconut, rich, sweet brownie, creamy marshmallow. Stop fantasizing about it. Get to Built.com to order your box of coconut brownie chunk Built Puffs right now. So again, go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's Built.com. Use promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. I'd really appreciate it on our road to 5,000 subscribers. Continuing to show Lockdown, we're the best and fastest growing fan base at the Lockdown Network. I hope you guys enjoyed your 4th of July, by the way. We didn't have an episode on the 4th of July because the day before was me and my fiance's anniversary. We spent the whole day together celebrating with me, family, friends. We did a big thing. Been 9 years, man, 9 years. Oof. Getting married in a few months. So yeah, that's why I didn't record and we didn't have a 4th of July episode. It's 4th of July. I don't think everyone was really, I think everybody was probably at home, got the day off. If you didn't, I'm sorry for you. I hope you guys enjoyed your 4th of July. So anyways, though, I'm going to talk about some things that you guys actually like tweeted at me. Like I said earlier in the podcast, I tweeted out and said, what do you guys want me to talk about on today's episode? And almost all of the answers were Summer League. Tell us what you want from Summer League. What are you looking forward to from Summer League? All that kind of stuff. But there were a few other questions that I kind of want to answer because I thought they were interesting. I wouldn't have answered them on the podcast, obviously, for just one person if I didn't find them interesting. And a few of these we've actually talked about before in the podcast, but I want to kind of bring them back up. I'm sure now all of you guys have heard this. One of them actually is more NBA-centric. And I want to hit on that one quickly. One of you guys asked me, do I think that the NBA should consider expanding the league to 32, 34 teams? And we talked about this on the podcast, I think a few months ago. One of you guys asked me this on one of the mailbags. And I said, yeah, I think absolutely. The league's getting really deep. The league has a lot of talent. I think they have more talent than ever before. I think a lot of people agree with that. A lot of teams are extremely deep. I think you really could expand to 32, 34 teams and even out the talent across the league. I think it would do a great job of doing that. Like I said, evening out the talent. I don't think you would have a major drop-off after a few years. Like, obviously, the first few years, maybe you would have, you know, those teams probably wouldn't be as great unless they're, you know, they got some great team building or something. But also, they could be great because, you know, there's a lot of guys now in the NBA who I believe probably that are coming off the bench or don't have a massive role that are young, have the chance to, like, if they were go to their own team, an expansion team, and get an increased role, there's probably a lot of dudes that we could see bust out like this. Like, they could go crazy. So I feel like the NBA has that kind of talent now and is deep enough in the talent area to where you can do that. We talked about that a lot, actually, a few months ago. I don't know how we tied it to the Pistons a few months ago. But, yeah, I think the NBA should do that. I've been saying that for a while, though. I think the talent in the league is really deep. Another question you guys asked me, this one was from Abdulia Garcia on Twitter. He asked me, what are some circumstances that would actually justify bringing Jaden Ivey off the bench? And this is something we talked about in the last episode. We talked about it a little bit last week, too. It's all going to come down to spacing. And for me, I told you guys that I think that the team should just go ahead and get it out the way since Cade and Jaden are your backcourt of the future, it seems like. I mean, you hope so. You just spent a fifth overall pick on Jaden. So hopefully that's your backcourt of the future that's going to carry you back into the promised land. Obviously, you add some other pieces, but that's the backcourt that will do it, hopefully. There's no need to waste any time, in my opinion. Just put them out there together. That's your backcourt now, tomorrow, a few months from now, a few years from now, like maybe even a decade from now. Like that's your backcourt. So might as well get their learning curve and they're adjusting to each other and learn how to play with each other out the way immediately. That's my argument. I don't see why not, you know, why bring him off the bench? You know you're eventually going to start him. That backcourt's going to happen no matter what. You're going to have to make it work because, you just spent a fifth overall pick on him. So I would just start him and get out the way. But the reasoning for not starting him would definitely just come down to spacing. I feel like a lot of the things said about Jaden Ivey coming out of college, a lot of the same things we talk about Cade when it comes to spacing at their colleges. Like, Cade didn't have great spacing. He didn't have great teammates. Jaden Ivey didn't have great spacing. Didn't have great teammates. So it's like, oh, when they get to the NBA and they have this space floor, a bigger floor, you know, the emphasis on the three-pointer, you know, guys actually being able to space the floor with bigger driving lanes, they'll be able to just really take off. And you saw in Cade's rookie year, it took him a while because the Pistons had zero spacing. I'm not going to go and read the numbers, but you guys have known that I've said the numbers now probably like 300 times this offseason that the Pistons were historically awful when it came to shooting the basketball off the dribble, catch and shoot, coming off screens, dribble handoff, all those things. They were historically awful across the board. It was bad. So Cade dealt with a lot of that his rookie season, and it caused him to struggle a little bit efficiency-wise for a lot, you know, for a few months of the season. He ended up picking it up, figuring it out once the Pistons got a lob threat, who knew, and surrounded them with spacing. Again, who knew? But he started to look better with that. Now coming into Jaden Ivey's rookie season, it looks like we may be having the exact same thing happen. Because like we said in the first segment or the second segment, if Isaiah Stewart or Marvin Bagley does not massively improve as a floor spacer, it looks like one of those guys will be playing the four for the Pistons. Unless they get creative and try to play Sadiq at the four, Isaiah Livers at the three with Cade and Jaden Ivey to give them as much spacing as possible, and then start a pick and roll big at five, whether that be Durin or Nerlens Noel. I really don't see this happening, by the way. I just want to make that clear to you guys. This is not a prediction. This is being super creative. I don't think it's going to happen. But if they do that, okay, then you have spacing and a pressure, a big guy putting pressure on the rim, giving you a lob threat. Then I think it would be okay. But that's probably not going to happen. You're probably going to be dealing with Isaiah Stewart or Marvin Bagley playing the four position. And if they don't provide spacing, spacing is going to be really tough. It really is in that starting lineup. If you start Nerlens Noel and Isaiah Stewart together, or Nerlens Noel and Bagley, or Stewart and Bagley, like the space is just not going to work. It's going to be tough. So if you don't want to put Jaden Ivey through that, maybe I could see you bringing him off the bench to run McKillian, and then you can run a bench lineup of like Isaiah Livers, Alec Burks, and then give them a lob threat center either in Durin or Noel at the five there, and you try to space the floor with that. I can understand that maybe, but even then, I just feel like, you know, just start the backcourt and then try to be creative with your substitutions to try like stagger guys, get them more spacing. I know creativity isn't like a major sticking point with this coaching staff, but I think they don't really, not only do I don't think they really have a choice, like they also haven't been given a great hand. So I'm not going to kill them as much for it this year because I don't think they've been given a great hand as of right now with the roster. But that's the only way I could possibly see it, Jaden Ivey coming off the bench, if they're just like, listen, dude, we're not going to have space in the starting lineup. Even if we start them together, they're just not going to be able to do anything together. Jaden Ivey's not going to have any driving lanes. It's really going to cause him to struggle. It may make him lose confidence. He may stop believing in himself. It may hurt him more than it help him playing with Cade. Maybe we should just bring him off the bench until the trade deadline or around then when we eventually trade one of these guys for a floor spacer like we did last year. We eventually traded for a lob threat. Maybe now they wait till the deadline around February to trade for a floor spacer. Then they want to put him in the starting lineup, something like that. Maybe I could see it. But even then, I think they'll just go ahead and start Jaden Ivey and get the development and the cohesiveness with him and Kay Cunningham started right out the gate. But that's all I've got for you guys, man. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill if you're listening to one of the podcast platforms. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. On our way to 5,000 subscribers, I want to take this chance at the end of the podcast to let you guys know I seriously am blown away with the amount of support that you guys have shown me in the podcast. Like, I've said this probably like four or five times over the past 2 weeks, but it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We've had the best day in the Locked On Pistons history. We've had the best episode Locked On Pistons history. We had the best week in Locked On Pistons. Like we showed up on the top 150 sports podcasts on Apple Podcasts across everywhere, all sports podcasts. We peaked up at, I believe it was what, 143, I believe we were at. First time ever for Locked On Pistons. We're growing, man. We're getting out there. You guys are showing me amazing support. I'm going to continue to give you guys all this content, continue to grind for you guys. We're going to continue to put out some stuff for you guys. But I really appreciate all the support you guys are showing me, man. I can't believe that I saw Locked On Pistons in the top 150, man. That's all credit to you guys for supporting and listening. Really appreciate you guys. And again, best way to support the podcast, if you guys want to try and knock it out the park again, 5,000 subscribers over the YouTube channel. We're at 3,385 right now. I'd really appreciate it. But again, I just wanted to thank you guys again for supporting the podcast, man. You guys are amazing. I really appreciate all of y'all. So until the next time, man, I'll see you guys in the next podcast. Stay safe out there. Hope you guys enjoyed your 4th of July. But until next time, I'll see you later. Peace out, everybody.